What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. And yes, you're really truly rolling with both of us. That's right, because John Martin is back. He's back in the saddle today, baby. If you can't tell, your boy is excited. Your boy is excited. I'm looking across. He's got his Raiders gear on. Properly refreshed. I don't know, that does look like a new hat. Maybe it's not. We'll find out. But he is properly representing his Raiders as he has made his way back from Vegas. I can't wait. I feel like I haven't seen him in about a month. And before he gets started, I just want to say real quick, you know the other thing I'm excited about? I'm having a hard time containing it today. Were you watching Fox last night?
Locked in.
Wow.
You got Brad bellowing over there,
careful,
man.
Careful.
He's bellowing.
Careful. Careful.
Was that going on all week while I was careful. Gone? Just you telling just knee slappers and Brad bellowing the whole week? Was that going
on? A lot of both of us had our gums flapping.
We broke news last week, John. It was a busy week.
I'll try. We'll get him up to speed on all that.
But all right.
Back to Fox last night.
Don't do it, Jason. Don't do this.
We're not going to overreact, but some are calling it the greatest show on sod. Where are the Bills? Where's Jeff? That's right. They weren't playing. As John reminded me early, they weren't playing anybody.
He ended his show early today. I mean, he could not have possibly ran up out of here any faster.
Congrats to you, by the way. Your Raiders and my Bears, we'll talk about it. But consider two of the teams on the upswing.
Yeah.
Round of applause, please. Bill Barnwell has chimed in.
Now, I would say, you know, one of our upswings is certainly, it seems like, more, long for the world than the other, if that makes sense. I think ours is definitely like a very, you know, transitional upswing. I don't think it lasts forever. But compared to last year, there's no doubt.
I see you, Ashton Gentry, running over folks.
That can't happen again in preseason. That man is delivering week 8 hits in preseason. Like, you got to stop that.
You don't have anything left to prove in this preseason, son.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see him again. So, but yeah, that was fun, and he got a touchdown. So, You see the potential, and obviously, like you said last night, probably the easiest 90-yard drive you are ever going to see in the NFL. I gotta say, that was just surgical. What Caleb Williams did.
Weapons.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So I'm back.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back. We have not been together on a show.
Been a minute.
Since the pandemic. A lot of people have maybe noticed that. They say, what's going on? You guys aren't doing a show together.
Party bus.
It was just part of the way the vacations broke down, right? So we are back. We are back here in the saddle and looking forward to it. If I don't see or visit the desert for another 5 years, I'll be excited about that.
Do you have any money left?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean that
you're
wasn't
responsible.
That wasn't the that wasn't the problem, right? It wasn't about the you know.
Good. Well, that's first thing.
I mean, I play a lot of blackjack, and you know, blackjack is one of those games where like you're gonna lose on average over the course of a session 1 to 3%. It's a relatively low floor game or high floor game, I should say. Right.
Yes.
The house edge is not that vast, so you sit there, you get some drinks. I played blackjack. I don't know if I could say this, but I'm gonna say it, and he's gonna join us tomorrow. That was actually probably one of the more worthy things that came out of this trip. Brett McMurphy.
Hey.
And for the entire blackjack session, I looked over at him and I said, Big 12? Big 12? Like the whole time.
He's wow.
Like, he complained to people.
You were at the table with McMurphy?
Yeah.
What a story.
Yeah. We talked a lot. We talked a lot about how when he was in Memphis, there was a place downtown across the pyramid that sold hot fudge pies. I didn't know what he was talking about. Maybe somebody listening could tell me what
I'm
that
sure
place was.
I'm sure someone will know what he's
I didn't
talking
know what it, do you have any idea
I
what that place
remember
would be?
I don't remember the hot fudge pies.
But he talked about how he would come here all the time when he covered USF. And so, you know, he had a lot of nice things to say about Memphis. He did not necessarily have a lot of nice things to say about their future in terms of conference realignment. So
nobody does.
Yeah, that's
except for Feinbaum.
So I think, yeah, like Feinbaum will come on, he'll give us 5 good minutes of just railing on everybody.
Yep.
You know, that's not what you're gonna get from Brett. But we did have a nice long conversation about
excellent
everything Memphis football, everything Memphis basketball, and he jokingly told everybody around the table that this guy's been complaining about Memphis for 4 hours, which I guess I was, you know.
Did you get a chance to ask him about the rising star / steady hand that is Ryan Silverfield?
We did talk about Ryan Silverfield, actually, as a matter of fact, and it was once again really interesting to get the national view, which is very different than the local view. And I think that's what we talk about quite a bit, right, is that when you sort of look at Memphis aerially, which is what a Brett McMurphy would do, he would never really, like, look in deep. He would say, all right, how did Memphis do this year? Did they win any big games? Did they win 9, 10 games? He sees.
Did they win the conference?
Healthier than ever. They won 11 games last year. But we got into that.
Okay, good.
And I think maybe, you know, I turned him on to some things. So, anyway, that'll be tomorrow. But, yeah, played blackjack with Brett McMurphy. I don't think I got Memphis in the Big 12. I tried a lot. But, you know, this is probably the least amount of sleep I would say I've ever gotten on a Vegas trip.
Okay. You were working.
Over the course of I did miss the Jeff hit. I'm not proud of that. But
that's all right. We're being punished today.
That's right.
But we're going to survive.
In fairness to me, I don't know how much he, like, disclosed in terms of trying to defend me.
Not much.
I warned him.
So it was unprofessional.
I warned him when he asked me. I said, I will do my best.
I think the conversation was, should you at this time, in your advanced years now, be out till 5 a.m. the morning before, which is actually a pretty decent conversation.
Yeah.
Considering you're a vet of Vegas now.
I was networking.
Right? Till 5 a.m.?
Yeah. I mean, everybody was
up. Was it at the pool?
It was just around the casino.
Okay.
It was around the casino. I mean,
you and McMurphy just having a good old time. Y'all were swinging.
That was a different subset of people. But he was up till about, you know, 2 o'clock one night. I mean, he got after it too. He's at On Three now. That's his new. We talked about his, you know, career changes and stuff. You know, he went from the Action Network.
No question.
You know, he's worked for everybody.
Right.
And you know, he talked about
ESPN at one point.
Yeah, right. ESPN, CBS.
Was there a fight there this weekend or no? Just this week
Vegas?
At all, yeah. And any big events
that I saw. Okay, yeah. Oh, a boxing match?
Well, anything. UFC or whatever. That one, that UFC thing wasn't this.
No, that was Chicago.
Right. Okay, that's right. That's right.
There was a WNBA game which I attended. And I had to unfortunately sit on the object the whole game because they said before that if you throw it, it's got upgraded to a felony. So that ruined my entire plan.
I hear there's a lot of those kind of stores out there. I bet you could have loaded up.
No, it was a sparkly one. But I had to, like I said, I had to sit on it. So that just made the whole experience a little bit more uncomfortable. But we made it through, and we're back here in the beautiful land of Memphis, Tennessee, and we're excited to be back and never go back, really. All right, we got a lot to get to today. Respect Burgers, 1 o'clock. Jonah Dillon from the Commercial Appeal covers Memphis football. They named the starting quarterback while I was gone.
That's right.
Shocking.
Brad and I broke it down, and Brad's first take, boy. He had the city buzzing. He had to go back and sort of revise the next day.
Okay.
Didn't you, Brad? Is that accurate description?
That's accurate. What? I don't think I revised. Oh. I think I said that they're going to run the damn triple option because this dude can't throw footballs.
Tell John exactly what you said to start, though, about Brendan Lewis.
He's slaw.
Said he sucks.
I said he sucks, and I stand by that. Now, granted, you are in the freaking the Big Six here, or whatever you call this conference. So you should be able to tear up this conference.
That's sort of where we were last.
The
week.
Triple option,
talking about how whether or not this guy sucks or not.
Right.
And I think I convinced Brad, and especially with the latest development. Cortez Brom
Braham
will get the official pronunciation today, hopefully from Jonah Dillon.
Yeah.
But unlock him. You understand the difference he can make.
Oh,
because he was
totally
at Nevada.
Yes.
With Lewis, put up actual production. There's some familiarity there.
Right.
So this is big for an offense that needs to keep defenses honest.
I mean,
with some passing.
Yeah,
passing
I think what you're running into here with Brad is that Brendan Lewis is the opposite of a household name, right?
Well, and
he's no Arch Manning.
It's true.
You know. And so I think that's kind of where Brad's coming from. I don't know if the guy sucks or not. Do I think he's great? Do I think he's like some lifter of the program? No. But do I think he's a solid like holdover until you can ideally give the job to A.J. Hill, next season? I think that's his role.
It's the interesting other thing about that story, and he wouldn't get into it with Jonah. We talk about, but they're not going to name a two. We were talking about the management.
What in the world?
It sounds like Silverfield's had a chance. We'll talk to Jonah Dillon again, but he talked about it in his story over at commercialbill.com. They're not naming a two. We talked about how you handle, Antoine, A.J. Hill, Arrington Maiden, who also has played very well.
Yeah.
They've got high hopes for, but you wondered about keeping those two. And Brad and I talked about it. I mean, the bigger investment, you've discussed this ad nauseum. The NIL investment is in A.J. Hill.
That's right.
And not naming a two, can you keep them both involved until next year? I don't think I'd ever sort of considered that possibility. I think I'd always thought, well, you're going to lose Arrington, right? If he's played so well and he's named the three, how do you keep him involved? Especially if you're running packages for A.J. Hill. I know I'm throwing a lot at you first day back here.
Yeah, no,
but but you get my point.
Oh, yeah.
He might be playing this smarter than I thought you could, because, John, if you can keep both of them involved, and there's games there to start the season where maybe you can if you get out ahead or whatever else, maybe the plan, you can keep those two, both, as your 1-2 going into next season. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I would consider that, because the reviews on Arrington have been great.
Yeah.
And if you could keep both, which I don't think I ever envision a world where you do that.
Right.
That'd be a great thing for the program going into next season.
Well, the interesting thing with A.J. Hill, too, is that, there's that red shirt to consider. Right, is it three games you can only play?
Three, four. Yeah. I want to tell you.
I would bet his people would be very much like, "Hey, we're not coming in to play mop up duty for more than whatever the allotment is that you can play and still get a red shirt, just in case." He may want to. He may have to play, because NIL now, it's like, if you're not a guaranteed pro, you want those. The full allotment of NIL money that you can get now.
Absolutely.
So I think if Silverfield would come to him, he probably would say no.
I just think how they're handled is an interesting subplot to it all. In a year that you still got to win big, and that's why you bring a guy like Brendan Lewis, and it's got the experience that those two don't.
So it feels like that's the biggest thing I missed. So anyway, Respect Burgers, 1 o'clock, and then Jonah Dillon at 1:25. Does it feel good? Just kind of, there's another voice in the room now. I know you left last week. You were probably beaten down, man. You exhausted. It's good, man. I'm back. Is that the biggest thing I missed? What else did I miss?
There's something big.
Because I was really unengaged. Wasn't.
I can tell. There's something big. We'll tell you about it later in the week. But we had Travis King in here this week.
I did see that. And it's funny that.
That's major.
I'm glad you.
And mainstream Memphis media hasn't quite either picked up on it or hasn't been able to tell the story in a way that I think Brad and I were able to get Memphis close. That's something big happening out there that matters, especially in your world.
I would really like to write about that for the Memphian, because I was going to actually do that before you, because I had a meeting with the Murray State coaches, and there was a guy that came in. I'm not going to say no names, but there was a guy that joined us who started talking about this. I don't remember. What was it called?
Tennessee Collegiate Academy.
And what's like the category of what? EYBL?
EYBL Scholastic.
EYBL Scholastic.
New league.
That's
going to have all the big dogs on it, including this team.
And the good news for Memphis is that, and I actually love this story in a way. I know some schools around Memphis will detest it, including Bartlett already.
Well, you'd be surprised, because we talked that through, but go ahead.
So they're going to be able to, whereas maybe those Memphis kids that come to the top of the heap or whatever would have to go to Montverde or whatever. Now they just get, siphoned basically to Tennessee, whatever it's called, Christian
Tennessee
Academy.
Collegiate Academy.
Collegiate
get used
Academy.
To it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in collab with Tipton Rosemark. That is the academic
Got it. Oh, wow.
This is why you've never been able to do powerhouse prep school here, is because you've got to have the academic component.
Well, there was Reach Your Dream Prep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one counted. And then back in the day, that was Gerald. And then back in the day, I said it, I think Cowboy, because Walken was writing about it, was trying to do one. My man Eric Robinson, the former grassroots coach around here.
And they couldn't marry the academics.
And that's the part of it. That's really why it's never materialized. Well, you've had, I mean, this we've talked about it. This thing was shopped around in some ways where some other schools had a chance. Tipton Rosemark will be that. All those guys out there, Dylan Jones from Bartlett, but Dylan other Jones. Guys that are nationally ranked from outside the state are going to Tipton Rosemark during the day for their academic part.
How many of these are there in the country?
How many what?
EYBL scholastics.
I want to tell you 24, but don't pin me down on that. I don't think we asked 24. How many they're coming in with, but I think the initial plan is 24 teams.
So 24, okay. So, I mean, you're talking about the top 150 to 200 players in the country, right?
Yeah.
That would get, you know, stationed around these, you know, schools. And I guess I would ask, what is the advantage just Nike here? Like, you just get into the Nike family?
What the advantage for whom?
Like, the player to play at this place. Like, what is the, why would I go to?
Well, number one, you're going because there's a significant amount of NIL involved.
Okay,
number two,
so
you're going
NIL.
Because Montverd, Spire, those folks have their people. You know, you may, it's just like college at this point. You're looking at those rosters, and maybe they got too many guards there. That's another thing that's going to help you recruit out of state as far as the Memphis prospects are concerned. The three or four or five guys that'll be off the top, it may not be five. In a year. TK's told us, like, the talent isn't necessarily what it was in the 90s and early 2000s, but the point is, you take that off, those guys probably are going to decide, I'll be honest with you, and I don't think he would mind me saying this. Talked with Curtis Givens III, his father, Curtis Givens, about this, and sort of, his son's out there. Chase is out there. Curtis Givens obviously left to go to the school that John talked about, Montverde, for 2 years. If this is here, Dad said, you're keeping him.
Wow.
Right. And so you're playing this national schedule, but you're doing it at home, John. That's
advantage. That's awesome.
For the half the guys
that's
on the
beautiful.
Roster. It's not going to be a whole Memphis roster.
Yeah.
But you're doing it at home for the three or four. I tell you what, a guy like DJ Okoth, I don't know if you saw it, but he jumped up to number 13.
Yeah, so he's a Memphis guy, right?
He's at Bartlett right now, but he is a rising sophomore. Now, they've got Dylan Jones out there going, he's
Jones.
A junior. Now, Okoth right now, as far as I know, is at Bartlett, but he's a guy that
we
is already
going to
have Montverde and everything else, right? Maybe a year from now, maybe he's there. I'd be checking the Bartlett hallways right now. My assumption is he's back at Bartlett. He's a rising sophomore with Braylon.
I mean, he's the highest ranked guy we've had in a while.
Highest ranked guy in the state, regardless of classification. Now, according to ESPN, he jumped from 23 to 13.
See, I love this because, you know, in previous years, I don't know when this flipped. Probably like six to seven years ago, probably flipped where you were just losing everybody to Montverde and stuff. But, like, so you would, operating under that old model, you would just assume, like, you know, DJ Okoth is gone as a junior. Like, he's going to go to one of these prep schools. And now you feel like there's a chance that he would be in Memphis.
And there's also another, as we use it, subplot to this. You know the advantage it is. It's an inherent advantage.
It is.
Having that here
That's
for
right.
a Penny Hardaway. Look, Curtis
we hadn't had it.
Curtis Givens III left, went to Montverde. You recruited him till the end. He didn't come to Memphis.
That's exactly right.
My point is, remember when Wiseman had a Finley prep option? We
100%.
Used the discussion then. Man, you want to keep him at
East. It felt
so Penny can bump into him.
Yeah.
Now there was an extra relationship there. Wiseman was probably going to always end up. But the point is, now it's in your backyard.
100%.
That's a great thing for Memphis and
yeah.
for Penny.
I think that's a huge story, honestly.
It is a huge story.
Because it could, like, it could make the Memphis job better. Like, Penny, post-Penny, whatever the case may be, right? Like, it could make that job better.
Easier.
I'd
say easier.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
you bump into those guys. I mean,
yeah.
Keep in mind, it's Travis King that's out there
that's right.
helping, you know, along with Norton Hurd and Thad and everything else.
Look, it's a Nike prep school, and Memphis is a Nike school. You know, it don't take much to put two and two together.
The other part of this is the NIL component. It's real, bro, because you get a guy like Keeper Jackson back from Columbus. This guy, again, he's back here. You got him back, and to do that,
wow.
you had to pull him from a school like Columbus where he's already making NIL. There's that involved too. We asked Travis the payroll of this thing. You can see it in his eyes. It's serious business.
No doubt.
We've discussed it. I think we had Chuck Lawson on early in the week to speculate about how much has got to go into this. Bro, it's million plus, if not more, in terms of the whole enterprise. I'm not talking just an NIL paying. I'm saying what's got to go into this from an investment standpoint. I mean, we're talking big here, man.
Yeah, that's a big storyline.
And I don't think it's – and here's the thing. This ain't going to be a 2 or 3 year thing that fizzles out, dude. The people that we've got involved, the Mike Wright that's coming in to be the head coach, we had him with Travis, you know, Thad, Hurd. This thing is sustainable. The plan is for it not to go anywhere. TRA is the one that says, hey, we'll help here.
That's amazing. I do. I think it's a game changer in many ways.
Definitely around here for sure.
And it's a good thing because, you know, listen, is it exactly – you know, what we got used to in the 90s with, like, these crosstown rivalries. No, but it'll never be that again. It'll never, you know, not with the best talent, you know. So this is the closest thing that we're going to be able to do to keep the Memphis guys home, the best guys.
The one more thing I'd throw at you, because you brought it up, I just want to address it because Travis did. I think it's important. Locally, it seems, it was the initial question Brad and I had, like a threat, right? I mean, to the local schools here.
Yeah.
Who's not going to aspire to go play at a school like this where they potentially play their way into a payday?
Yeah.
Right, NIL and everything else. Yeah. For those high school coaches, a Deion Real at Barber,
right?
There's a good chance you were going to lose those guys anyway. It's happening all over the city to the out-of-state prep schools and everything else.
If they're good enough. Yeah.
That's part of the conversation. The other part is this, and TK said it. Those guys will be included when those folks, Dylan Jones has got 2 years, but his last year, they'll be included as part of the senior day, according to TK's. It's part of the saying that, hey, we're not taking these guys from you. In fact, they're going to stay here, and when they get to be seniors, we're walking Deion Real out there with Dylan Jones and saying, formerly of Bartlett, with Coach Deion, Dylan Jones from Tennessee Collegiate Academy.
Right.
So again, yeah, initially, maybe you think, oh, man, I'm going to lose all my kids there. No, they're only taking the top 2 through 5, whatever it's going to be.
Right.
And you were likely going to lose those kids. We've seen it for the last few years, like you've said, to out-of-state schools anyway.
Right.
Maybe you keep a guy, and I know there were some, you know, there were ties to Jersey and Wagner and everything else, but a guy like Billy Richmond III.
Yeah, very
stays
possible.
Perhaps for those last 2 years. It's not just Curtis Givens.
Yep.
It's others. It's Matthew Morrill, IMG.
That's right.
Kenny Chandler. Where did he get out of here?
He went to Sunrise Prep.
There you go.
Sunrise Christian, I think. Yeah. Sunrise Christian Academy.
So now you get a full kind of grasp of where we were last. This thing's absolutely huge.
Yeah.
I think we kind of, you know, brought you as close to it as we could last week.
No, that's well done.
Folks will realize how big this is in the coming, you know, weeks and months.
This feels like sort of the biggest kind of like Memphis basketball move we've had in a while in the
Very
prep.
Much
you
is
know
so,
what I mean?
Bro.
So I you know, we'll see on exactly what the impact is for Penny. I do think it could maybe revive some efforts locally. Because like there really are none other than Fred. I mean, Fred gonna go?
As far as I know, and Chuck said it with us last week, he's back at Briarcrest.
He's senior this year.
Yeah,
I might as well just finish it out. But if he was a junior, I bet his ass would be there.
Absolutely. I mean, again, this is
because it's brand new, right? When did it launch?
Brand new this year. Travis has moved back to Memphis to do this, like from Phoenix.
Wow,
it's major, bro.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, starts off this year. Brad read off the schedule. He was doing the real-time reporting with me. You know, Brad grabbed a screenshot of the schedule. They're playing Montverde and everybody else
and
in
the
CYBL
league. And the gym is at Tipton-Rosemark?
No, I don't believe that. That Tipton-Rosemark will still have its team. That's the thing about for them.
Okay.
They'll still operate in Division II as their own team. I guess there'll be workouts there. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you they're never going to be in the gym. But my point is, it won't be based out of that. I think with Hurd and Thad on, you can do it out of Reform and everywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
They've done some marketing shoots at TRA because they're in class, so they'll bring them into the gym and do some shots, but they've got their gym.
They won't take that team's gym away from them. Will they do some workouts out there? Sure. Dude, they're having a combine with coaches coming in here. Travis was
But you think their home games would be at Reform?
There's only the Memphis Hoop Fest. The rest of their games, dude, are in Utah and national schedule, bro.
Oh, it's a totally
there is
national
no, it's
schedule.
Not like a, yeah.
Totally, this, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Totally national.
They're
this
only
is just like Montverde, Spire.
They're only
and
playing
the, yes, dude, yes.
Yep.
And you have the Memphis Hoop Fest, which I think has usually been at Bartlett or wherever else. But
got it.
That'll be, and that's not to say they won't have any home games here. In talking about this last week, we had some people say, oh, they're trying to work on some home games. Now, maybe... Again, I don't think they'll be at TRA, but that's to be determined. Most of their schedule will be on the road, national schedule. That's the thing about playing in this league and wanting to play with this.
That's fascinating.
EYBL Scholastic team is you're playing against all the best competition in the country.
They play the Sunshine Classic and Dream City's in that. They play the main event in Iowa, Iowa United Prep, the Memphis Hoops Fest that Jason talked about, LaPorte. Then they do Western Maryland with Christ School in North Carolina, Lumiere. They've got them in Maryland, and then they've got later on Oak Hill, Montverde, Spire, Cats Academy. This is all national.
I'm going to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit this night, but you probably are the only one in, quote, print that can write this story.
Right.
If you get my drift.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In terms of the relationships and who's involved in this and what's required.
Yep.
I think that's why we sort of probably, you know, didn't see. And let's be real, too. It's football season around here, whether it's prep or college football.
Right.
That said, you're going to be the one that needs to put that in print because of your relationships.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Well, I think it was a great job by you to be on top of that.
Well, Brad was doing it, too. So give your boss a pat on the back there.
Jason got all the players this week.
We got the significant big, you know, the folks involved, whether we talked to her about it on Wednesday when we got TK in here.
Jason,
when you get Mike Wright, the head coach, when you get, you know, TK, and he said it's her, it's that. That's who's behind this thing, and it looks like it's here to stay.
That's exciting. I don't know if it's as exciting as that first drive on Sunday Night Football last night.
Mm.
But it is exciting. I guess what we can do is we can take a break and we can do a little stock report of our teams here in preseason. Yeah, as you guys know, preseason football is my favorite time of year. I enjoy it more than even regular season. Now, that's a joke, but I have been watching damn near every preseason game. So, and I was locked in last night on Sunday Night Football. How could I not be? It's the first Sunday Night Football game of the year. How could you not be watching? Caleb Williams and the starters going against the Bills. Come back, Jason and John, how do you turn to fam? Yes.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
92.9's Jason and John, football breakdown presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live. Every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus, all season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. This football breakdown is presented by Paramount Plus. I like it. We're actually going to talk basketball. I'm just kidding. I thought I saw something. Is it something's coming to Paramount Plus? Some sport, some league. I don't know. Maybe it's NBA?
The NFL.
I know the NFL. Is the NFL going?
Yeah, some of the Sunday games.
You knew that.
Okay, I thought there was another one maybe that...
they're everywhere now, though. Peacock, Paramount.
Because I saw the... You know, the issue is I saw the NBA, you know, media schedule by the week, which is... Did you talk about that by chance? Not the lease.
The release?
Anything but the lease.
No. The release of the NBA schedule?
Yeah.
We did get
it. And you go to the watch guide, right? It's like so spread out Sunday, Monday. Like, you got to be on NBC, you got to be on Peacock, you got to be on ESPN, Prime, you got to be on, you know, it's just outrageous how spread out this stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
Hard to watch.
Yeah, we got a lot of Peacock games.
Because you're gonna look around like, oh damn, is the game on Peacock tonight? Is the game on ABC tonight? Like, I don't have any NBC tonight. I have no idea. But anyway, yes, this football talk is presented by Paramount Plus. And I don't know. Maybe it was a movie. Maybe it was a movie last night what we saw in Chicago.
I'm gonna be careful here and just let you go.
Well, and I think that's the right move.
You keep it real.
That's right. Because I heard, you know, you're over there getting the vapors. Brad's over there giving you a hearty bellow, you know, when he starts thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But here is the truth. The Bears played all of their starters basically last night on both sides of the ball. And the Bills played basically none of their starters. They completely punted that game. And it looked like it. I mean, was it 38-0?
That's right.
They got absolutely whitewashed last night in Chicago. But I will say, you know, you still got to go out there and do it. You still got to go out there and move the ball. You still got to go out there and make throws. And in that first drive, I mean, it was essentially a perfect drive from Caleb Williams.
Yes, it was.
And
I think it was 9-7.
Yeah, not. I mean, honestly.
Because the setup, I mean, our kickoff there, he had set Caleb up in terrible territories within the 10, I think.
Like, they've really been practicing special teams.
Yeah.
And he muffs the ball. Then he has to pick it up. Then he looks like he doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done a great job of coaching special teams.
You were locked in. I love it.
Was that Tyler Scott?
I believe it was.
Well, might be the end of the road for him.
He's like sixth.
Yeah. You get the ball at the 10, which in a way, I think if you're Ben Johnson, you probably like, because it's like, all right, we've already hit him with a little adversity. Yeah, it's starters versus non-starters, but he's got to start from the 10.
That's one way to look at it.
He's got to go on a real ass drive.
That's true.
And in sixth place, he found the pay dirt. Alamide Zaccheaus.
You like him.
I mean, he did what I needed him to do.
Looked like what's old boy in Detroit's, what's the one you draft every year in fantasy? Oz.
Who is Oz, bro?
Amon-Ra.
Yeah, I've
forgotten his name because this is the new Amon-Ra.
Well, the one thing that you pointed out on text is that it looked so much like what we see from Detroit.
Come back home. Come back home and keep it real. That's right. Tell them what I
mean. I think that's what you like take from it, right? It's like, what is this going to look like from a, you know, stylistic and personnel standpoint?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw Komet and Loveland.
We saw that 12 personnel, didn't we, though? We saw in Detroit with the two tight ends.
That's right.
We're going to see it
all
year long. And you've got two very capables, and he found Colston twice.
He did.
Wide open.
Big place.
Dude, there's routes running everywhere, and that's nothing. We didn't show them anything. That's Ben Johnson in sleep.
Right. That's right. Receivers really, I mean, the Zaccheaus one was just kind of, he broke it off.
He's gonna make it, though, Alameda.
Oh, he's your third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if not Luther Burden.
Man.
You forgot about him, didn't you?
Kind of loaded.
Bro, kind of. With the two tight ends?
I would trade a dude today, though.
He has recreated.
I'm trading Rome.
Let me calm down.
You're trading Rome.
Rome?
You don't need him.
Courtney Cronin told me before the game he's worked himself up to number one.
Hell.
He's the number one receiver. Now, he dropped.
He dropped Caleb an easy pass.
100%. But this is after standing out in everything else, including the joint practices against the Bills.
Right.
They said he's been operating as the one.
Right.
Then you see DJ Moore all sided up to Caleb, making sure he remembers who his one is.
Right.
Here's the key. And I told you I'm gonna keep it professional. The ball was coming out. It was coming out on time. That's what Caleb Williams didn't do. It's what he couldn't do last year. Last year with Eberflus, and it's an entirely different plan. But the question coming off of all that is, can you make Caleb an on-script guy, a guy who gets it out? Because that's what Ben Johnson's all about. It's all about timing and the routes being right on schedule and you getting the ball out. 1, 2, 3, drop. Get it out of there. And that's what you saw last night. It was night and day difference from last year. it was the Bills backups.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it come back to, and that's where John started us, and that's why a guy like me or Bears fans that were watching it, you can't get too giddy. But, yes, did it look like progress? Absolutely it did, because Caleb was on time and getting the ball out. That's something we didn't see enough of last year.
Yeah, that looked different.
He looked different.
Decisive. Now, again, no Bills starters on defense, but, you know, you just saw a more confident, more mature player. I mean, I think that's what you were really looking for with him. And, you know, you look back at his year last year, I mean, and his numbers were actually pretty good despite all the adversity.
3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 picks. The problem was half of those 68 sacks were probably his fault for holding on to the ball too long.
Yes.
And that resulted negative yardage, basically made his rushing stats moot.
Yep.
And that was on Caleb. Again, too much holding on to the ball.
Yes.
You cut down on that with a new offensive line that includes your man Tooney, all pro.
Who was not out there last night.
And you get the ball out there, you get it all out on time to your two tight ends. It comes out quickly, and you know, with a defense that's hopefully worked its way in the top 10. Nobody's saying the Bears are ready to win the division. You know, that should be still Detroit's.
I mean, I think it's
maybe even Green Bay's. We'll see.
I don't know.
With everything Detroit lost in terms of coordinators, you could see a step back. I mean, everybody's predicting Jordan Love. This needs to be you make the playoffs. You just, you know, it's time to go ahead and take. We'll see. But Bears obviously look like a much better outfit in terms of coached last
night. Well, I really do. I think there's like two parts of that discussion, right? Like there's the Chicago piece of it, and then there's the division. And, I think the division, there's no – like, if you want to say Detroit's a favorite, fine, because they won it last year.
That's what Vegas says, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I think the separation between each of those teams is, like, I moot. I mean, I think it's all, like – I think any one of those four teams could win it. I think Chicago could absolutely win it because they've – you know, defensively they looked really good against Mike White. I mean, that was Mike White's last chance to make an impression for this backup job, and he just –
It wasn't with the ones on the O-line, though, was it? As far as I know.
It wasn't. Those are backups. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. But, I mean, they stifled him completely. So I think – so the division is clearly open in my view. And then what I would say, if I'm talking about Detroit, I mean, it feels like Ben Johnson was everything. If I'm just watching that game last night, how are they going to look now that he is gone?
Still tough.
Right.
Still with a culture that's where guys are ready to step up like they always have. I mean, they still got Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll run over you. It'll be still a physical style. Will they be as creative on offense? Probably not. I mean, I imagine some of that still trickles down.
Yeah.
But Ben knows it. My point is, I don't think certainly on one side of the ball, they'll lose something offensively.
Right.
Still defensively, they're still going to be the favorite. They're going to try to run you over by
kneecaps. They'll win 9-10 games on that alone, but it just feels like in terms of that next step, you know, I think they lose that creativity. And that's when you think about the Lions, the fake fumble play or the trip or whatever, like, I just feel like that's left the building. And
probably.
You know, I think that's probably worth 2 to 3 wins.
Well, don't forget, I mean, you lose Aaron Glenn as well. You know, he's a head coach now.
That's right.
So you lost your DC and your OC.
That's exactly right. We always talk about this, like on the show, like how when you lose one or both, it can really be a difference.
To me, it seems like an opportunity for a team like Green Bay to take the step up. I hesitate on Minnesota just because I have to see with my eyes first. J.J. McCarthy have as good a season as Darnold did last year. He was not a thrower at Michigan. We know he's a great locker room guy. We know he's a winner, but a passing offense, and that's certainly what they what they are. With J.J. McCarthy, that has to be proven to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I see it as an opportunity for Green Bay to take over this step back for Detroit as opposed to Minnesota. That said, Minnesota could very easily finish third or second in this division if McCarthy's as good as some have projected him to be. He's never been a passer.
Yeah, that was exciting. That was an exciting night if you're a Bears fan. And then, like, you know, there's just nothing better than going to a preseason game, you know, on a Sunday night football, and you beat the hell out of the team 38-0. I mean, you got Badgen out there looking like one of the best backups in the league, bro.
He looks like he's grasped the offense. I mean, you rolled up 530 yards of total offense. It looked over 300 passing yards, over 100 rushing yards. It looked like a freaking Detroit box score. So, for Bears fans that are used to ineptitude, it was nice to see.
Yeah, exactly right. So that was a fun night in Chicago. That seems like the dress rehearsal. Because they did bring Caleb back out for a second series that ended because of that Rome drop. So that I can't imagine that they would play them against the Chiefs, but maybe. I doubt it, though.
What do you think so far from our man Cam Ward?
Underwhelmed, I got to say. You know, he did have the touchdown against the Bucs in that first game on the second drive, not the first one. He went 3 down his first drive, came back second drive, and got the touchdown. And then
He didn't really play that much in game two.
2 of 7 for 42 yards. Had a big drop by Jefferson. That was a beautiful pass.
Yeah, he did. You're
pass.
Right. That is true. That is true.
That would have changed those stats a
that
little bit.
That is true.
There.
That's a good point. But I've just, yeah, I mean, I've just been kind of like, have I seen him and thought number one pick? Hasn't happened yet. Hasn't played right that
the,
much.
I couldn't remember it last week when you were out. What was the number that you and I had the discussion about?
It was
about
like 3,500.
35.
Yeah.
Okay. We still felt good about over.
I mean, they're going to be throwing a lot.
Dude, and throwing downfield, and Ridley's going to be there for him.
That's right. And when Ridley was out there against the Bucs, that was an easy connection. So, I don't know. I just haven't really.
I like what I see.
Who's the other rookie quarterback, the big rookie quarterbacks in this class?
Dude, the story is Jackson Dardan up with the Giants to me.
Yep, Jackson has been unbelievable.
He, wow. Russell is in the way.
That's a great way to put it.
You know, and it's just, but here's what I tell, I really think, I'm having this discussion with my 11-year-old on the way to school. Here's what I think this is. Jackson Dart, you're not going to start him and brought in Russell because he's your get out of trouble card for Dable and for Shane, who are on thin ice. If you start him immediately, he represents your future. If you start him immediately out of the gates, which you probably should because Russell's in the way, and he struggles, people are going to be ready for you to go off top. But if you save him for a game or two or whatever it is, right? That's your, well, and he comes in and shines like he has in this preseason. That's your, oh my goodness, we've got our next quarterback. And that is their only way to saving their jobs. And so that's why you don't play Jackson Dart to start the year. That's why Russell for now in the way is what they want because it for now saves them. He's the future though. Man, he looks ready.
Yes, he does.
And he looks like he's got his team already behind him. That's what I see as a guy who's won over that lock. They believe when he's out there. It's not a guy, your question whether or not he can play quarterback or grasp the system. That was supposed the people that didn't think Jackson Dart could be a good NFL quarterback were questioning whether or not he could handle an NFL offense. This dude looks like he's handling it pretty well to me. There was a wide range on Jackson Dart sort of whether or not he's going to make it or not. He has clearly been fantastic. He is a leader.
Yeah.
But the guy makes plays, too, so far.
That's right. I think, yeah, those have been the two. I mean, I don't know of another, like, high-profile rookie QB that's gotten a ton of work. Maybe I'm missing a guy. You know, we got a six-round guy in Cam Miller who's actually shown some things, but when you mean it's just bottom of the depth chart versus bottom of the depth chart. It's hard to know, like, how real that is, you know. So, yeah, it's, you know, for us on this side, you know, we've had a tough preseason. You know, we tie against the Seahawks, had a chance to win it at the buzzer, can't get it done, and then we give up a game-winning field goal to freaking Carter Bradley. You know, it's been a tough one for a compete.
How about the situation in Cleveland with Shadur and with Dylan Gabriel?
You mean Godchild, Shadur Sanders.
Is that what he's calling himself?
That's what I'm calling him.
We're all God's children.
I know, but he's God's child.
Well, what is Dylan then? He's God's child, you know, too.
He's a competitor, not an entertainer.
That man, he wasn't talking about Shadur, as he said later. Now, I know sometimes you'll say, well,
I think that's
what he's talking about.
I think that's cap, by the way.
He's been using it the whole time. He went back and clarified, but again, in his clarification, he's been saying this.
Yeah.
The people that ask the questions constantly about the two of them are the entertainers. It was his point. But as it was said, it did sound in the moment like he's talking about Shadur, entertainers and competitors. But he's used the line before, man, so I think we have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Most have come back, seen the references earlier, and said, you know what? I think he's talking about the woman asking him the question.
Yeah.
It's our job. You and I, we're entertainers.
No, but I think we're definitely
right. They're the gladiators. They'll go out and do it. Okay. And other than his pick six, dude was phenomenal.
I think the team rallied around Shadur. I mean, that was really something. That was something. Because
two weeks ago?
That's the last time he played. We didn't
Because he had the strain. We don't know who's healthy and who's not up there.
I mean, I will say this about Shadur. I posted this, and I haven't had it because it was a Friday night game, I want to say, and then I was out of here. But, like, that is a guy who, he is God's child, but he is an atheist when it comes to failing.
I liked that tweet, yeah.
He doesn't believe it's possible in his universe. Like, he doesn't, it's like, you know, you go up to him, hey, man, what if you fail? He's like, what? No. I'm not going to fail, never. I mean, I never do in my whole life. I mean, all I do is win, no matter what. It's like a Grizz win highlight day every day of Shadur's life. And I think that is such a powerful, it's definitely delusional. It's definitely like there's an element of, you know, you got to be a little nuts to operate that way because everybody at some point has fallen short and failed. I mean, he definitely failed against BYU in the bowl game, bro. I watched it.
I was going to say, but I think they lost.
He doesn't think that, though.
He thinks they won, is what you're saying.
Like, he's like, hey.
I mean, he lost that game. It's on and on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He knows he's capable of losing.
But he would find a way.
God's child.
He would find a way to try to convince you that he actually didn't fail in that game. You know,
is he going
to
tell us that he's not fourth string on this this depth chart?
Yes,
because that's what it said last time I looked.
Yeah, I know.
I love him to death. And I gave him a respect burger last week. And I did it, John, not because I think he's going to be this great NFL quarterback, although he got a shot so long as Cleveland doesn't run. It's how he made Dad feel.
Yes.
Remember what Dad was going through when we got out of here? Dad's going to be going through this season health-wise.
Yep.
All they've been through, got to slide all the way to the fifth round. It's embarrassing for the family and everything else. So to perform like that, what was it? He played until the third quarter.
Yeah.
For Dad, for the family.
No doubt.
I mean, what a performance. Dude, Dylan Gabriel shows he's a competitor. I was watching the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see a lot of it yesterday.
It's crazy.
Or whatever
they got
that
two
was,
rookies.
I was traveling back, but yeah, I saw the Panthers game, and I just, to be honest, I mean, my thought was just like he has a contagious Shadur Godchild has a contagious aura about him.
Joe Flacco is laughing at this whole thing. He says, I'm God's child.
No.
Yes, he is. He says, I'm the 40-year-old God. He's laughing about this whole thing. He said, you guys actually think you got a competition. I'm starting week one.
Yes.
Me, Joe Flacco.
But he will not be starting by week 13. They will hand this to Shadur, is my guess. Like, the only thing Shadur is going to have to figure out is, like, just the, I don't want to say it's maturity, but, like, there is a certain, like, disposition that you have to have at that position. I mean, he's still so, like, arrogant with it, you know? Like, and I think that's great to a point, but it's like he's going to have to get serious at some point. But I do think when that switch flips, bro, he's got the juice to be an NFL quarterback. There is no doubt in my mind. Like, and I think
Cleveland can blow it with him. That's the thing. It's not just all about the player, as you know so well. It's so much of what you have around him. And Cleveland's always just shown that they are a poorly run franchise.
Absolutely.
Again, you have two rookie quarterbacks that shoot in the third and the fifth rounds. I mean, some of that, you know, well, why'd you not use a third rounder on a guy that could have helped you somewhere else? I mean, that's the point. Well, they thought they were going to stick with Dylan Gabriel. They get down the fifth, he's still there. But is that a good plan at that point? That's just poor. They've always been poor. It's just like sticking Caleb Williams in the middle of that mess last year and expecting something decent to come out of it.
Exactly.
With that OC, Shane Waldron, and the Bears, and with Eberflus. They're totally inept, and you can ruin a decent quarterback. And so, you know, that's going to be part of it, too, whether or not Cleveland can make sound decisions around him.
Right.
You know, because you don't always get that. You don't always – that's not always promised.
Yes.
An organization can ruin you, too.
Yeah, they put themselves in a very weird spot here. Because whereas it's pretty obvious in New York, they draft the quarterback in the second round, and like you said, like Russell's just in the way, and that'll eventually go to Jackson Dart.
Yeah,
like you got to still sift through it in Cleveland, and you got like you may have two quarterbacks, and I guess that's you can trade one of them, you know, and that's not the worst thing in the
world. They've had calls already.
But yeah, it was. I enjoy the Shadur experience. I really do. I mean, when he's on. I'm in.
He's Mr. Completion Rate. He's always going to be above 70%. That's the thing. If he can do that in the NFL, I think that was the case in his first game.
Yeah.
If he can do that in the NFL, dude, you're on the field.
Yeah.
Only the best do that.
There's and do you like celebration? Do you like the, you know?
I like everything about Shadur.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
But as you said, he clearly, Dylan Gabriel is a professional leader.
He is.
I'll put it that way.
He is.
And while there are things that he doesn't bring to the table, just the size alone.
That's right.
I mean, he's tiny out there.
Right.
In terms of leading a locker room and getting guys to buy in, he's got all of that, dude.
Yep.
And so he's not just sitting down. In fact, it could be a deal where, man, iron sharps and a little iron.
Yeah.
You know, the better of the two.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not telling. Shadur is the guy that I would be looking at as my future quarterback, not Dylan Gabriel.
Yep.
But can Dylan Gabriel help you get that Shadur up you know, to that level? I think absolutely this guy carries himself.
I think you like the Shadur. I don't say this to minimize
you're gonna
it.
Carry
but,
four quarterbacks, I think.
I mean, weirdly. That's pretty crazy. That's like no practice squad guys. That's pretty crazy. Because, I mean, I guess you can't.
You put one of them on the practice squad? I don't. I mean, they've both shown essentially the same thing. I know that pick six was ugly, but he came back
now,
bounced
right?
back.
So that helps.
Yeah.
So, but the Shadur shtick, and I don't even mean it in a bad way, but like, whatever. Like, that would go over extremely poorly if you're losing, right? Like, him coming in there being goofy as hell and making all kinds of jokes and saying, I'm the best, and, you know, like, that would just not fly if you're losing. It's great when you're winning, you know. But I think they could probably take them some things from each other, like you said. Like Dylan could take a little bit of, you know, arrogance, you know, some reasonable arrogance from Shadur, and Shadur can take some sort of quiet leadership qualities from
happen that way.
I mean, that's the way it works in the NFL. It's just like you got 53, 63 guys in there. You're trying to lead. You're trying to, you know, make an impression on.
At some point, I'm getting to one of them, just like at some point I'm getting to Jackson Dart if I'm the Giants.
Jackson was a steal.
The deal with the two of those.
Second round, are you kidding me? That dude's making all the throws.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. He may save their jobs. He might.
Yeah.
He's looked that good in the preseason.
That's right.
A lot more to see against real ones, but.
Well, he hadn't even thrown to Malik Nabers yet. I mean, imagine that. Imagine when he's out there.
Somebody had thinking, is it Hyatt that they expect to make a jump just because of all the tension that'll be off Nabers? And then they added somebody else, though. They've got three decent receivers, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Jalen Hyatt from a couple of years ago, people are expecting to jump up because of the attention for Nabers.
Yeah. Well,
I could
there
just
you
be
have
making
it.
That up, but I don't think I am.
So that was week two in the preseason. Milroe has not looked bad either. He's been pretty good. I mean, for what he's been asked to do. I mean, he's not in. You know, I don't think Darnold's in any danger of having his job taken or anything like that. But he's been intriguing. Is kind of the way I'd put it.
So as your man, I can't believe you've let go and not mentioned him at all. I know he's not a rookie anymore, but Anthony Richardson. You know, if it's ever going to happen,
as Chris Harrington
likes to say, it's go time.
We've let go.
No,
he's not going to win the starting job, man. He's losing.
Stop it.
He's losing,
no,
bro.
I thought this last game, he looked a lot better this last game. He got hit that first one, right? He got hit in the whatever
it
was.
But like
he's fine. The last game, he looked good. He looked the part.
Steichen's talking about all the details, man. He's like, we're not a detail guy. We're like, hey, we're going to get out there and launch at 70 yards.
He's going to be out there because we know what Daniel Jones is. Richardson, get on out there, buddy.
I mean, I really say this all the time, but like it's amazing what the Colts have done in that quarterback room. Where they've gotten literally the white and black version of the same player at the same position. I mean, how do they do it?
Mm.
There's no other quarterback room like.
You've completely let go of AR. Did you sell all your cards and everything?
Yeah, for $12, man. I got $12
wow,
for it.
No wonder.
No, I mean, I'm rooting for him because, like, he was doubted coming in, but it does look like that doubt was well-founded is kind of the way I'd put it.
Yeah.
So,
until further notice, I think Cam Ward's ahead of him, which is not a good thing. I do. I think Cam Ward's going to be fine.
Yeah.
They have a good offensive line.
He hasn't looked bad.
They just don't have the run game, I don't think, with Pollard and Spears.
That's tough.
For that. Yeah, that's the issue. So everything's on Pollard first. He's not the guy you want all the carries on.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the preseason week two report presented by Paramount Plus. Here on Jason and John. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.